Hello, and welcome to Only Mr. God Knows 2024, Episode 2. As I say every week, do not watch Eurovision. Okay, today we have gotten two guests, an old classic on the council, Chris Wade. Hello, Chris.
Hello, glad to be back. Glad to be listening to Eurovision again.
And a new and oft-requested member of the council after smashing on the Eurodance episode.
Oh,
it's Jackie.
You. Thank you. Happy to be back. Happy to once again meet in the middle of where my interest in Europe and your interests in music cross, you know?
Happy to be back.
At the intersection of Europe and music lies Eurovision.
It does feel like this would be like, you know, a British Pate, like newsreel or whatever. Like, Europe, they're making music now. Have you heard?
It's great though, because just like the Eurovision episode, I'm just listening to this and I'm like, there's so much America going on here in so many confusing ways that yes. breaking down what's going on here musically, what decades different countries are stuck in, like all of that is incredibly fascinating to me. And like the math of like how different countries ended up with what genres they picked and all of that is going to be fascinating to discuss.
The mega mix this year, it really feels like, and I got a little bit of a sense of this last year, that the Eurovision exists in like an alternate timeline where the last 25 years of music didn't happen and we just repeated 1999 over and over until it like
some of it happened selectively. Like it's very fascinating which countries are like trend hopping what eras. Like some people seem to be like relatively current, some people seem to be like dated in incredibly weird ways. There's a lot of cultural appropriation going on in different directions that we can talk about. Fascinating stuff for sure.
Absolutely. And like I will be able to chime in about whether that is reflective of the current music scene or whether it's just the competition in that country is behind.
This is true. Like immediately I'll have a lot of questions about Ireland, for example, and the voting process of this, because like it seems to me like certain countries, there's different priorities in terms of what gets uplifted. There's different I'm fascinated.
Yeah, and also like different countries have different ideas of what winning the Eurovision looks like for them. Because for Ireland at the moment, the moment for Ireland, the big thing at the moment is just get into the final. We don't care if we actually win the whole thing; just get into the final.
You said last year Ireland is the most winningest, or tied with Germany.
No, God, no, not Germany. Well, Germany has a lot because they've been in it since the beginning. Tied with Sweden. Now, Sweden, of course, last year. Because that was the big thing about last year. Sweden won again, and now they're tied for most wins with us, which is 7, I believe.
It's interesting you say that they're just trying to make the top part this year or whatever, because it really does feel like their pick this year is kind of like, we're doing whatever we want with this one,
yes.
You know?
All right, let's just get into it with fucking Ireland, because like
there's a lot to discuss for sure.
We got most of our wins. I think we've won 7 times, and I believe 4 of those wins, if not 5 of them, all happened in the 90s. So we've been out of it for a hot minute. We were not prepared for like what happened in the 2000s when like the Eastern Bloc fell. All the Eastern European countries entered, and they decided to do this crazy thing, which is actually send celebrities, because they're like, shit, the economy's been ripped out from under us. Touring Poland isn't fucking enough anymore. I need to like expand my reach beyond Poland. But like at the same time, they were like successful and like well rehearsed and practiced musicians. Mm. And then we were still selling like people who would sing to your nan about how nice sweaters are.
Yeah.
The Ireland entry this year is certainly not singing to your nan about sweaters.
No, because
it might be the opposite of that vibe.
I'm not sure this is a figure that has penetrated America. Are you guys at all? Are either of you familiar with Louis Walsh?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So he's the man behind Boyzone, if that's at all familiar to you. And he and Westlife, I don't
think Jedward. I know Jedward.
You know Jedward.
Oh, Jedward. Jedward. There we go. That's one I recognize. Yeah.
Okay, but Louis Walsh actually fell into Jedward by fucking mistake. He would never make Jedward on his own. He would make Boyzone on his own.
Boyzone.
Gotcha, I see.
Jedward, like, because
so that was his hit. That was his accidental hit, you know.
Absolutely. And he's had his fingers in the Eurovision selection process in Ireland for
far too
long.
He was a judge on the X Factor. I'm getting the whole picture here.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Like, I've heard stories that, like, he's single-handedly tried to ruin people's careers for saying that Boyzone was a stupid band name.
When I'm thinking about, you know, a group of young men singing, I don't want to like be thinking about their boy zones, you know?
All right. So I guess I want to start this conversation because, Chris, we had an episode with you last year. Good. Yes. I recommend it. And we will circle back to you in a second. But Jackie, what is your experience with Eurovision?
My experience is fairly limited. We've done an episode of the podcast where we discussed some entries, but I mostly have not engaged with the contest on a year-to-year basis beyond just, like, occasionally, like, when the finals are happening, it'll sort of bubble up to the surface, but I've never, like, followed it super closely. I was really fascinated by digging into all of this because it is, yeah, like, really interesting how it runs, like, parallel to culture, like, alternate dimension, like you're talking about, like, it's similar to what we talked about on the other episode that we did, the Eurodance episode, and what we've talked about in general on our podcast of like novelty songs, pop culture detritus, songs that are like very blatantly trying to sound like other shit. Like, so all of this stuff is just like, this is a wonderful zone for my brain to be living in, to be hearing a song and being like, okay, what is this trying to rip off? What does this say about the weird geopolitics going on in this whole event? Like, I'm ready to cook on this stuff for sure.
Absolutely. That is very similar to what I enjoy, but I add the extra element of like, okay, can I try and predict how like a grandmother in Slovakia will feel about this song? can I map this? How successful will this be? Okay, good. And Chris, a year on, how do you feel about your first Eurovision watching experience?
The first one was very much like an anthropological tour through a realm of music that I had no indication of, but now I feel a little more grounded and at least feel like I have a baseline for a lot of this stuff. But it is still delightfully foreign in weird ways, even though everything is, as Jackie says, like a mutation of various types of strains of recognizable pop music. It is all like it's hard for the American mind to comprehend that there could be that many regional differences in a place that is essentially the same size as ours.
I think the only like cultural institution I could think of that like kind of compares to what Eurovision is like is the Oscar original song competition, right? Like imagine, so like every year at the Oscars there's like five songs from movies. One of them is a song that you've heard that like is successfully used in the movie, and the other two is like Diane Warren wrote a song for the Hot Cheetos movie.
Yeah.
And this is like if every single country in Europe got to commission their own like Oscar original song candidate that then had to compete against each other. It's incredible.
Yes. That's a great comparison. So, songs that indicate real songs but are not quite real songs.
Exactly. Like there's some semblance of that this is being thrown away, but also Diane Warren does really want to win an Oscar for it. Right? Yeah, yeah. Like it's trying to win a competition, but also like it's not a song.
Yes.
Oh god, yeah. Okay, so this gets into like, I think this is definitely, I feel like, an attitude amongst like Britain for a long time, and also Ireland tries to convince itself that we think the same thing of like there is this aspect of like it's kind of foreign, it's a little weird, we don't really understand it, but then like you fall into the pit of thinking it's like lesser, but then you're like, no, like some of these songs are charting across like 8 of the countries involved. and like are reaching number one and shit. So
I was just gonna ask that dude. So like, do Eurovision songs actually like chart and get like radio play? And I guess if they do, is it like very regionally specific?
It would depend. So like, so there's countries. Basically, one of the rules that has been like understood, like the best Ireland has done in recent years in Eurovision is when we sent Jedward, and people still dress up as Jedward and stuff, and they came. That is the only song in recent memory that we've sent that was also number one in our charts. Mm-hmm. And there's this kind of thing of like, if your country likes the song, like you should say something you like kind of the
vibe. Because you need people to vote at home like American Idol. So you want something that has its own built in like promotion system behind it.
Exactly. And then like the countries that have like the best national selection competitions always, not only will like the winner reach number one, like everyone who participate will be like top 20. Like Italy and Finland and stuff usually.
And I know that it can, like, especially in the European context, create celebrities because, like, I think it was a couple years ago, Måneskin essentially rose to popularity via being a Eurovision band. So, it definitely makes sense that a sort of side act slash like struggling artist slash maybe famous person can use this as a vehicle to like launch their either comeback or career or whatever, and then get popularity sort of locally. And I can also see how some of these songs might like succeed. Some of them are bops, you know, like a couple of these I totally could imagine them taking off.
A ton of them have had afterlives on TikTok.
Also, there's one of these immediately that I'm like, that's a TikTok song for sure.
So, and there is also like, to that point, there's a real Cinderella story this year as well with, I'm just going to bring it up, Croatia.
That Croatia was one of my favorite songs last year as well. I really like this one. It's like the bizarre mix of influences where this is like a, like almost like a crabcore song, like an attack song about leaving your little like Croatian home and moving to the big city, like giving up the life of being a Croatian peasant.
The Croatian section is incredible. I really think the sort of former Soviet kind of Eastern Bloc countries are really bringing it hard in this competition for sure.
Because like, okay, so like the story with him, like first of all, he's doing like an emigration song, which is a real like strategy because you can't vote for your own country. But like Croatia, I think, has like the highest percentage of people who like leave the country.
That makes sense.
So he's going for the diaspora. He lives in Austria himself. And like,
we should clarify to the listeners, we're of course referring to Baby Lasagna.
Baby Lasagna, that is a yes. Baby Lasagna's Rim Tim Taggy Dim. and a song about like having to leave your country town or whatever and move to the city or move to another country. And yeah, he was put on the reserve list for the national selection. And then someone dropped out of like the handpicked like songs that were going to compete. And then like he entered. Got more votes than all the other songs combined, and like there's been calls for like people at the national broadcaster in Croatia to resign. I was like, why was this guy on the reserve list? This should have been like the one you put forward immediately. His girlfriend made the music video for him.
I mean, the music video is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a shoestring budget kind of thing, and like it would be Croatia's first win.
I'm that's all very interesting to me because I'm sure like the anxiety, it's a fun song, it's very lighthearted, but I'm sure the actual anxieties around emigrating and relocation and all the things that it carries with it within the broader European context right now is like very real. So I'm sure the, you know, it, while you know, it, again, like the things that this might be pulling from in America, you know, like leaving your shitty Midwestern town and like moving to New York or whatever, you know, that's still like here in America versus like, I have to become an economic refugee in Austria, like the Death Star of the European Union from my position in the relative periphery of like a little Croatia.
Yeah, like one of the things I try to do to like map like how successful this song be is like watch a lot of reaction videos. There's tons of reaction videos. The national broadcaster in Croatia released one where they just got like a bunch of old people to listen to the Croatian song. And a lot of them were just like, yeah, there's not young people anymore, is there? There's not really anything for them to do here. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Can give like Game of Thrones tours of Split or whatever.
Basically, yeah. Oh, no, like I have a friend who works in Croatia and he's just like, yeah, it's a beautiful country, wonderful. As soon as tourism season stops, it's the most, you just want to kill yourself. Like nothing fucking happens. Anyway, so now that we've gotten a lot of this stuff out of the way, how do we want to approach it? You have a top 10, Chris. Do you have, Jackie, do you have a top 10?
I don't, but I have some favorites that I want to hit, and we can kind of circle back, I think, if there are any that haven't been discussed.
Perfect. All right. So then in that case, Chris, can I have your number 10, please?
Yes. And I will just say, I mean, we've done a lot of like context here, but I will just say that like, these are the ones that stood out to me, and I think that Jackie would probably agree because you brought up the like car commercial number ones. This year, the baseline for any male song is essentially Imagine Dragons, and the baseline
There are like four or five Imagine Dragons cover songs.
We're imagining dragons over here. We can do it.
which has made me really realize that it's not like. That the corollary to that is that Imagine Dragons has to be the most European coded American band, right? Like they are delivering a European style rock straight out of the heart of Las Vegas. Aren't they Vegas guys?
I think that
guys?
Totally tracks. Yeah. Yes, they are Las Vegas guys, and I think it tracks in that like Maneskin are like this twisted mutation of Imagine Dragons, right?
Yeah.
Like it definitely feels like Funhouse Mirror European version of like you're saying, the Las Vegas aspect of Imagine Dragons does make them kind of perfect for like the Funhouse Mirror vision of America that they reflected back. Yeah, it's very
and then the baseline female act is like Sia, like 2017 era, like Sia.
Very Katy Perry, I Will Rise sort of zone.
Yeah. Like generic inspirational. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With like maybe it was some kind of like thumpy faux EDM synth bass that they're singing over. Mm-hmm. So those were like.
Do you have that kind of like phenomenon? Are you like aware of that in the States of just like this kind of thing that just like this cultural institution, this musical product or movie that just kind of keeps going and you don't really know why? Like, for example, like, I remember finding out that like all the Adam Sandler movies that are just kind of like dog shit are like keep going because they play like so fucking well in Latin America after they've been translated.
Interesting.
Like, because Imagine Dragons definitely feels like something like that. Like it does kind of, if I'm wandering around in America paying attention to music, like who's sustaining this? And it's like,
I think Imagine Dragons is really good at like conveying emotion, even if you can't speak English, right? Like, I imagine if you're in another country, you're just like, okay, I don't even need to know what that guy is saying. I can understand what he's emoting just by the sheer effort that he puts into every vocal.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that probably helps it translate in, like, a Marvel blockbusters overseas sort of sense,
sure.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so that was, like, my baseline, and basically anything that, like, exceeded the Sia Imagine Dragons line. This is when I started paying attention. So
I think there are two other. Can I say the two other kind of like larger types of song archetypes that I identified here? The other one is what's the name of it? The Shakira World Cup song.
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about, like vaguely world music or Caribbean or African music influenced, like everybody get together pop anthem. That's one that I definitely identified here. And then the last one, of course, is just straight up Eurodance, just people that are like, it is still 1996. And
well, that's a good transition because the first song that I want to call out is the Austrian song Kayleen's We Will Rave, which is just straight 90s Euro Eurodance rave banger. Got the transitions with the acid bass lines, the music video for it. They're literally doing like the Simpsons gay steel mill video. It's just like a bunch of like ripped shirtless guys hammering in an abandoned steel mill, and then lead singer being like, "We will rave." It's like it's very hard dance hard.
Kayleen walked into a studio in Vienna and was just like, "So what do you want for your music video?" And she was like, "I want the entirety of the Chippendales Dancers. Just really close to me. Thank you very much."
In the Footloose warehouse.
Yeah. It's an air hangar that probably did something horrific in World War II. Let's not talk about it.
Yes, this is true. This is incredible. I really, really loved this for exactly the... I also think this is a great example of something else that I noticed is the like discrepancy in production value that exists within this competition. Like comparing this to the last song where we talk about like a shoestring budget and they're like giving it all for the performance and they're wearing costumes, but it's like they're just performing on the stage. They don't have a music video. Whereas this is so much effort and gloss being put into something that is so dated. It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's like definitely some sort of Eurodance revival, because while I agree that there's a lot of it in the competition this year, there was a lot more in like the national selections. Like there was like a real big like Eurodance kind of banger, including with an element that like Kayleen's We Will Rave does not have, which is the kind of like gibberish chorus, like your dabba dee bad dies or whatever. Like there was a Norwegian song that came like second or third in their final that was like 100% that. Well,
it also rules, just like, especially when you have some of these songs that are so clearly trying to be like, here's our little message or our idea or how we're like, and then some of them are just like sexy, sexy fun time. Yes. Like there's another one later where there's literally like police dancing and partying with like people, and it goes back to the Eurodance concept of we can throw a sexy party that solves a world conflict.
The wall has fallen, time for the sexy party.
Yes. So I don't think that I wouldn't necessarily vote for this to win, but I think I appreciate what they're going for here. I think it's a very competent version of this. I think the music video is funny, so you know, honorable mention to Kayleen.
That has it's entered into my rotation. I can I'll reveal at the end actually.
What's my next number?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, this is kind of a negative one, but I had to signal it out because it's so weird, and especially the video for it is so weird. This is the Australian entry.
I knew that was coming up next before you even said it. When you said video being a little uncomfortable, I'm like, I know when this is.
Yes, which is, this is like very replacement level, like kind of like fake Bruno Mars maybe, but the video is just like two people kind of naked, shot from the chest up, kind of like smizing at the camera and not saying anything. It's a very strange thing, and I'm not really sure what it's supposed to go for.
They're trying to do, like, my understanding with the video is they're just trying to do like one step above a lyric video, basically. Yes. Like they didn't have the budget to do like an actual music video.
I think it's definitely trying to, my understanding of it is basically do a like low effort Michael Jackson Black or White sort of thing, where it's like we are making a song for like that connects like the indigenous history of Australia with this smiling white guy next to this person. It's very fascinating, and this is just super Australian in like the production of it. Like these guys are like a dance pop duo from Australia who made this song, and it's just very like everything that kind of sucks about Australian dance culture is what I would say.
Yeah.
I'm watching the video right now, and the part of the video where, like, the two of them have these, like, purple souls that leave their body and kiss and then, like, go back into their body. It's incredible.
Yeah. So this is your you're right, like, the black and white thing, or, like, the musical equivalent of that one gif of Michael Jackson putting down the gun while, like, smiling, because the song is One Macaulay, which is the, I believe, an Aboriginal word for blood, one blood, and it's kind of, you're like, we're all the same.
Going back to the Shakira vague, like, gesturing toward we are all one people world music pop thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said this a moment ago, Jackie, but I was also watching this and being like, okay, so are they going to morph into different people, like the black or white video?
Funny part of it is that they have just a little bit of, like, After Effects work going on in this video, but clearly it kind of does feel like they shot this footage imagining, like, okay, so in post we're going to, like, have these two faces become one, right? And they're like,
we can become multiple faces. Yeah.
We can make their, like, spirits kiss real quick. Is that gonna do it?
just in the VFX booth, right? Spitballing.
Anyway, very goofy. The song is not good either. It's just classic Eurovision goofiness.
It does strike me as a band that you do see at a festival that you had no intention of seeing. It's just like you're wandering around, you pop into, like, one little tent or venue, you're like, oh, I guess this is happening, and then you kind of wander off.
Definitely.
Then, what do you got next?
My next one is the Croatians. I'm going kind of in, I was just pulling these out in order alphabetically. So next is, we went from Australia to Croatia, Baby Lasagna, we've Rim Tim Tagi Dim. We've already kind of talked about this one, but I find this very charming, and this would probably end up being in my actual, like, top five or three if I had to vote. I like what they're going for here, and I think it's well executed, and it's weird in a musical way.
Can I make a guess on what the next pick is going to be? Are we going to Estonia next?
Yes, we are, of course. 5-T and Pull Up. I don't even know how to define what they're doing here, but I like it. It's like a goth country rap that kind of starts like a Estonian Lose Yourself or something.
There's a big Caravan Palace, the, like, electro swing group, is kind of what I thought of here, where it's like this weird mix of, like, strings and, like, a dance beat, but it goes way harder than Caravan Palace does. This kind of rules.
Yeah, so this is, you were asking about, like, the charts beforehand. This is one that has fucking dominated, basically.
Oh, let's within go.
Within Estonia. Because, so, oh man, like, Estonia has vowel harmony. I don't know how to pronounce anything, but, like, 5 minus. I know 2 eyes is different from 1 eye, but I don't really understand how. But 5 minus is, I believe 5 minus is the rap group. And Pull Up is a folk group, a folk duo.
The guys with the weird string things.
Exactly. The song is called We Don't Touch Drugs.
Well, that's unfortunate. But, you know, you can't, if the song itself is good, you know, I guess I can't argue with the message.
Well, no, the joke is that they're saying it so often and in the song that it's clear that they do.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little, like, tongue-in-cheek.
Yes. And also, like, with 5 Minutes, like, previous career as rap musicians in Estonia, it's been a lot of, like, we do drugs, in your classic rap sense. The two of them came together for this one song. It, like, has been number one for the entire, like, national selection process, that it was, like, it wasn't a fair competition. And the success of the song has caused them to plan and announce that they're going to make an album together, the two groups. So they're just like, we're going to do more of this.
That's people really love sick.
Estonian rap / folk music coming together. Let's go.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, like, I think that's why it's succeeding. It just feels like a genuine, like, oh, like, these. This genuinely feels like it's of the country it came from, but also feels, like, really silly and fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, I'm imagining if God, when was the last like genuine expression of American folk music, like the Oh Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack?
I also love that they're shooting this on what looks like the, speaking of Michael Jackson music videos, like the Beat It or like Smooth Criminal music video where they're like in the warehouse.
That's just what Estonia.
And then they pull out and look, it is a stage. That's for sure like a backdrop or whatever.
It is cool. It looks like they spent some money on this, which is
I just love, yeah, like you're saying, like that sometimes it's like, oh, we've just got someone doing like a basic song, and sometimes it's like, for some reason, this like Estonian folk rap project, we're gonna put a lot of resources behind it. This is popping, clearly.
Yes, and it seems like it is. I mean, yes, I would like to hear more. Okay, I will set a Google alert for the 5 Minust pull-up album.
Well, it does, like, it was literally, like, of course they shot a good music video, because it's like, oh, we just released this demo track on, like, Spotify, and people just walking around the streets of Tallinn just kept handing me money. So, here's a music video, I guess. Estonia is one of the countries that, like, takes Eurovision seriously. So, like, they put money into it.
Good for them. Well, they delivered this year, and they should be very proud.
Yeah. Now, What's next in your list, Chris? Because we're going off your list.
Now I'm wondering if Jackie and I are in enough of a mind meld that you would be able to guess what my next one is.
I feel like I doing the Simpsons thing of like, this, and you two have never met before.
this one feels easy just because they're in alphabetical order and Finland is next. So like, yes. I feel like we're not passing Finland.
Yeah. No, of course. It's Windows 95, man, with no rules. Yes. And a very denim-themed performance. Again, this is classic. Like, I think the song is good and funny, and like the concept is good, but this is like peak, what I was saying earlier, like 1999 never ended. You know, it's like, it not only does it have that like Euro dance thing, but it's literally the name of the guy is Windows 95 Man, and they're like, what is the theme of our performance? It's denim. He emerges from a giant denim egg. And the big concept here is that he's wearing like a nude thong, and so they try to do a lot of like stage jokes that he's like actually naked from the waist down, and you just like, they're constantly like framing people in front of his junk and stuff. Anyway, it's a fun song.
I also highly recommend the music video for this song where he's like a coder in jail, but he's also dancing in a sexy jail cell. It's really, really, really great stuff. I'm fascinated by this in a similar way. It does remind me of like, there's this, speaking of Australian dance music culture, there's this guy called Party Boy 69 who like, his whole thing is being a DJ on the internet. And he's like not terrible, but he also is like, his whole thing is just like wearing like Speedos and like little small sunglasses. And the whole thing is just kind of like, look how silly I am. And all of his like original music is very like horny Eurodance adjacent club stuff, and that's what this reminds me of for sure. Although this feels like it's more it feels more tongue-in-cheek is what I would say. Like, it definitely feels like they're having a laugh with this one.
Yeah, I mean, both this entry and Finland's last year entry, which was also my favorite song, but also felt one of the most novelty-esque songs in, I mean, it's a thin fucking line with the Eurovision, but you know what I mean.
I just pulled up the YouTube video and read in the description. The track is the artist's first single and a party banger that opposes unnecessarily restrictive rules. the no rules hook of it, I think, is what sells it, right? Because the whole thing is pretty silly as it is, but then when you add in that like as the refrain, just it takes it over the top to being
his opening monologue with the like, ooh, you touch my tra-la-la voice from like Eurodance fame
for sure,
of like I'm Windows 95 Man, is also great. It was so like last year's Finland's entry from last year, like there are murals to him in like Helsinki at the moment, and like everyone was really sad about like at like the national national selection this year in Finland, because like all the journalists I know who went there were just like, yeah, they were clearly gearing up to host Eurovision this year. They like pulled out all the stops and stuff, and like they had the video game museum, which is mostly Angry Birds, but like like all the Nokia people had to go somewhere, and they made Angry Birds.
That's really funny.
But then like, Yeah, and then Carrier from last year has been going around giving his Midas touch, his blessing to a handful of like musicians. He gave his blessing to Croatia.
It feels very much like it could be like on the same, on his like bespoke label or whatever. You know, it's very much the same, like half electro, half like with like goofy tongue in cheek metal influences. Vibe.
It really feels that like the key to it is it. This is very close to Planet of the Bass, right? Because the whole like hook of this song is really leaning into like being intentionally silly, right? Like all of the lyrics of like no rules is how I live, how I find the wing beneath my wings, how I learn to fly. It's all very like faux inspirational.
Yeah,
Planet of the Bass. Okay, so Planet of the Bass is interesting because it's like if America actually participated in Eurovision, would that not maybe be the kind of song that you'd want to like clean up and do a real studio pass of and have that be our actual selection for Eurovision? Like that feels more authentic to the Eurovision experience than us being like, actually, yeah, we're going to send like whoever, like a Beyonce track or whatever to Eurovision and just try to like big dick everyone.
No, for sure. Yeah. I think that is, I mean, sketch comedy videos are essentially our Eurovision, unfortunately. Yes. So that checks out.
Weird Al, like the comedians who write their own songs, is the closest. Yeah, like,
I mean, the end of the No Rules video is basically ripping the Bound 2 video, where the two different versions of Windows 95 Man are straddling each other as they like fly through the clouds.
It's
great stuff.
The hilarious thing that I think has still not actually been determined yet is the first point of controversy was like, does he have to change his name due to copyright when he goes to Eurovision? That's been cleared up. He's allowed to still call himself Windows 95 Man. But if you've seen the Mega Mix, even though he's like running around pretending to be nude from the waist down. Yeah, his logo is blurred out. It's like pixelated.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like,
The use of the actual image is where they, but for some reason, adding man onto Windows 95 is enough to throw them off the scent. It's funny. I'm currently wearing this hoodie. I'm wearing is a DJ DS, which is a DJ Dodger Stadium, famously cease and desisted by the Los Angeles Dodgers. So they only go by the acronym. They were an electronic group, and then recently I was wondering, like, I wonder what they're up to, and one of them was A&Ring the Bob Marley One Love tribute album, and I was like, ah, that's what they're up to. So yeah, good for that guy.
Oh god. Alright, so let's actually continue this game. Jackie, can you predict what's next?
Oh, that's a great question. I want to say Greece.
No, I did think about the Greece one. I was thinking about how, see, this is getting, thinking about the Greece one was like my thinking about the regional differences between these, because it is like, you know, the Nordics and Northern Europe have this, other than Finland, which apparently the Finns love to be silly, but like all the Northern Europe songs are like that, like clean Scandinavian production. Like they are genetically like pop music experts. UK and Ireland have like a fairly developed like music culture that fits in with the more like Anglosphere culture. And then Southern Europe, it's like still kind of like techno, like bass. I love how they bust out their traditional annoying instruments that fit right in with like an electronic music song. So it's like whatever the Greece one has, like whatever, like it's not, what do they call it? Not Slovakia, like that weird, like, Vuvuzela type horn or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like seamlessly translated into a big like main stage techno lead synth sound. And it just, I don't know, it's like not as polished, but it's warmer and dancier and just like goofier. And that's what I was thinking about the Greek one.
People that have seen the sun.
I did want to bring up the Greek one because talking about like sort of the multiculturalism, but also the like the sort of the cultural appropriation, I found fascinating is that both Greece and Italy are making songs that sound like Rosalia songs. Which is really funny to me, A, because the actual Spanish selection sounds like an Italo disco song, which is funny because it's like they're, but like also without stepping entirely too outside my box, I know for a fact that like Rosalía being the kind of face of the particular fusion of like reggaeton styles that she sort of popularized has its own cultural appropriation stuff, because essentially like reggaeton is like a very Caribbean Spanish music style. And the fact that Rosalía, who is like a white European Spanish person, has become like one of the faces of that style of music globally. And like, not so much the Greece one, but the Italy song is like straight up like this is a ripoff of Rosalía, down to the point that, like, the visuals like looked like Rosalía music videos, like the braids on the floor and shit. I was like, I'm pretty sure I've seen this somewhere before. So like, I was really fascinated by that whole like what's going on with like these non-Spanish speaking countries clearly being like, this is the cool European thing to be right now. Well, then also Spain is like, we're still trying to be Italy. Like, it's really fascinating.
So, like,
have you guys seen the online joke of the global Latino belt?
Yes.
Yes.
Greece is now in the global Latino belt.
That's really funny.
I mean, like, the jokes in, like, the Eurovision space over this was just, like, you know, fucking Spain cells seething at the Greek chads finally bringing reggaeton to Eurovision. Because, like, the two genres that are, like, huge in Europe but still haven't been, like, managed to get into Eurovision or not successfully, there are lots in, like, national selection, is reggaeton and Afrobeat.
That totally tracks. I mean... Because- It's what's happened in America over the last 4 years is, like, 2 years ago, Live Nation realized, like, we can make money on this. Like, people like this here. And I think Europe is a little bit behind that, as I might imagine, with, like, the dynamics of this contest and also the dynamics of particularly, like, Caribbean and South Asian and African immigration in Europe. Like, I can understand why perhaps they're not like embracing that with open arms right away, you know?
I mean, like, if any kind of South American genre makes it big in the States, it's definitely already made it big in Spain, but it will probably be limited to Spain.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Coco Jambo last time. It's not it's not like those wires don't ever get crossed, but it is it seems like something that they're not necessarily going to embrace for the context of, like you're saying, like, how does this appeal to a Slovenian grandmother, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a more global thought, too, but the thing, like, watching all of this and, you know, all these and thinking about the reabsorption of trends from, like, America, basically, back into European music, the one that I'm most curious about is watching, like, the 2027 Eurovision entries to see how much the current American resurgence of popular country gets reabsorbed into European currents, especially because country is, like, much more specific to America, but also does have a global fascination to it. And it is, like, what's happening in pop music right now is, like, you know, the cultural technology of country just being, like, reintegrated into our pop landscape. So
I could imagine
that getting exported back to Europe in, like, starting in, like, 18 months, you know?
We are for sure going to get some Old Town Road-ass Eurovision songs in the next 3 years.
That's exactly
what's going to happen.
Let's fucking talk about that, actually, because we got one of those this year.
That's true.
Give me, not in the, this gets me, okay. So, like, country music, God damn it. Country music in general is one of those things where it's like, okay, everything comes from America, you know, pop cultural hegemon, everything comes from LA, but then, like, there is, like, a great firewall in Europe against country music. Mm-hmm. And because, like, we just never really encounter it, like, and if it does, it will be like really, really big names will make it sometimes, and the two countries they'll make it in are Ireland and the Netherlands.
People do love country music.
Yeah,
one of the biggest Garth Brooks bastions in the world.
But it has to be Garth Brooks. It can't be any like rinky dink anyone else from Nashville. It has to be Garth Brooks.
Be like the big kind of superstar.
The whole European relationship to American stuff in that way is fascinating because, like you're saying, there is a block against sort of country music, but the UK love like Americana, like capital like roots stuff like that. I think I talked about this last time I was on here, but like realizing that Europeans were nerds about American stuff the way that I was a nerd about European stuff helped break the spell of Europe's like inherent coolness on me. I was like, oh, they think the stuff that we do is like cool the way that I think New Order is cool. And I need to like unlearn that part of my brain. Like they,
I mean, that's essentially
like Jason Isbell, like whatever. So
there's definitely in Germany, you have like the Route 66 Germans who are like obsessed because this is the country that makes all the cars in the world. So they're obsessed with the, like the same kind of like open road myth that America has and things like that, but it never usually translates to music.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that dialect is like essentially how. Sorry. Go ahead, Jackie.
I was just gonna say that, like, I worked briefly with like a country leaning kind of soulful Americana artist who was like so much bigger in the UK than they were in America, and it was because like, like that particular audience or whatever had just really latched onto it.
I mean, that whole dialectic is it's you know a bit old, but you know it's essentially how rock and roll got the dominant form of popular music. It was like an initial spurt of American innovation around it that then got was like just one of many things going on that then went to England and all the like Amerobos of
it all starts with the Rolling Stones being like, hey, the blues, and then we all hear the Rolling Stones and we're like, hey,
and
the
like,
blues,
oh,
the white people,
when white people do it, we can now we can comprehend it.
I have one Old Town Road style song that was in the mix this year.
Beautiful.
They didn't make it to the Eurovision itself though.
I mean, did you guys talk about this all in the Euro dance episode that you did? Because now I'm just thinking about this because you can almost kind of trace a similar trajectory around like electronic dance music, right? Where it's basically like invented in like house and techno. It's like an underground black
phenomenon. That's exactly what we talked
and then
about last
when
time.
In the 90s, when I thought of electronic dance music, I think I'm cutting in and out, but I'm going to keep going. I thought of it as like something that Europeans enjoy.
Nope, we lost you.
I was just saying that, like, you know, when I thought of dance music in the 90s, it was like, oh, that's something that Europeans do, you know? And then it came back and became global in a big way. Funny how that works.
Yeah, and now the cycle keeps sort of shortening in this way, right? Because you, as we talked about last time, you still have people that are like, what are you talking about? Berlin is the UNESCO heritage site, place where techno was invented.
It's never been so over for fucking Berlin ever since that got announced.
I mean, that was the nail in the coffin, right? As we discussed last time, it was already like DJs don't want to live here anymore, and then you seal the deal with that. But yeah, no, it's this weird, fascinating sort of life cycle where even now, when we are so around the corner of understanding the roots of American dance music, like you still have to unlearn. Like Americans still are like, yeah, but like we need to get to Europe where the club system exists and whatever. Like there still is that like whole infrastructure. And I think a delightful trend of the last couple of years has North Americans being like, actually, maybe we don't need to go to Berlin. Maybe it's fine if we don't.
Maybe
no
Detroit.
Yes,
hey, look at all these empty warehouses in downtown LA. Wonder if we should
like all of the
club
best, all of the best raves, like scenes that are happening like in America are like in places like Pittsburgh and for festivals that happen in upstate New York and shit like that.
Rust Belt stuff, right?
Exactly. No, 100%.
I mean, we've got a bunch of those empty steel warehouses that are just demanding for hot shirtless
churches,
men,
abandoned buildings,
smash hammers into tires in a rhythmic way.
There are two things that will create rave culture: deindustrialization and getting bombed to shit in the 40s because you fucking deserved it.
True.
But okay, so there was one Old Town Road song. I have to bring
Please
this up because
share it.
There, huge story. I'm gonna share the link, and you can listen to as much or as little as you'd like. But this was the favorite to win Iceland's national selection. Bashar Murad's Wild West. And it has this kind of like country twang, spaghetti western kind of thing to it, but also a bit of like hip hop. And like when everyone thought this was going to win in Iceland, they were like, oh, this is going to come like third in the whole competition, mostly because he's, or partly because I should say, it's a bit unfair to say mostly, partly because he's Palestinian Icelandic. And the whole song is about like how I had to leave Palestine to deal with the Wild West. And it was going to be like a fuck Israel surrogate vote until they got like rat fucked in the Icelandic national competition.
That's interesting because this is way fucking better than the Icelandic entry.
Oh god, the Icelandic entry is trash.
I found quite a snooze.
Yeah, another like people from like the national broadcaster in Israel were like campaign, like trying to do vote campaigns within Iceland to get them to like not vote for this, and the whole thing was incredibly like dirty. And
I will say my favorite part of the actual Iceland winner is that the song is called Scared of Heights, and she's on a platform that's like three steps up, and then someone like helps her down from the platform to it's really great. I was just like,
yeah.
Something like 64% of the Icelandic population don't want to be in the song competition this year after all that's happened. So like,
that is really funny.
Okay. That was a little sojourn.
No,
I really
like
the Greek
context.
So we've done Greece and Ireland. I mean, Iceland. We've talked about Ireland a little in the beginning.
That was
I
the
mean,
next on my select.
Oh, interesting.
On my Ireland. Select. Yeah, just because this song is so weird, very very Hot Topic core.
Its
presentation. It's about I like that it varies wildly between being like hard, like pop emo rock, like almost Evanescence ish to being kind of more bubblegum poppy in the middle.
The genre switch element of it is definitely like very jarring. I think Ireland is just the coolest country in Europe to me. Like they just, I don't know what it is that's in the water there in terms of like them having good weird taste in stuff, but it just always remains true.
It's the only country in the world where you can have a glass of milk for dinner and it's cool.
Like, oh, yeah.
And it produces this.
But yeah, I don't know. This one's, it's just nice and weird.
Bambi Thug.
Well,
yeah.
How do
we have high hopes
God,
for
I'm
them?
Frozen again? Come on.
All right.
I'm back.
Let's go back down the list. So we've covered Ireland. We've covered Greece, so we might as well get to the elephant in the room, right? If we're going through this alphabetical order. My real one question is: when was this written, and when was it like submitted? Because the lyrics of this song, feel pointed.
All right, so I'm going to summarize the story as best I fucking can, as quickly as I can, because people who've been listening to the series have heard it like
several
10
times
now. Yeah. So like,
sorry, you guys had, I keep frozen in and out. You guys are talking about the Netherlands song, right?
No, we're skipping to the elephant in the room.
Oh,
the Israel selection.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. So it basically looked like, so Israel were submitting songs, and every time they submitted a song, the European Broadcasting Union kept coming back like, this is too political, change the lyrics or you can't compete. And the national broadcaster was like, no, we are a proud people, blah blah blah, we will not be changing our lyrics, until on Saturday 3rd of March, I believe, when it looked like that Palestinian guy was going to win in Iceland, the president of Israel, Herzog, went down to the broadcaster, basically said, cop the fuck on, change the lyrics, because we are not going to hand this competition to the Palestinian entrant. We need to submit something. So the song they submitted, Hurricane, is a reworked version of a song that was originally called October Rain.
I literally was listening to this song like, this is very, very, very pointed, except for this one lyric right at the center of the song. Very conveniently placed. It's weird how this kind of stands out from the rest of it. I wonder. Yeah,
you may also notice that the music video is very reluctant to ever zoom in or give you a close-up of Aidan Golan actually singing any of the lyrics, because she is singing something else in that recording.
That's really funny. Yeah.
We talked about this when you were on Jabbo, but yes, it's very funny how much they had to do like six revisions of this before they got it in.
Yeah, they had another song called "Dancing Forever," which is
Dancing
about
Forever,
who died
of course.
To grave. Yes. Yeah. So, it basically looked like they were playing chicken. That like the national broadcaster realizing that this competition was going to be held in like. With a bunch of countries that do not like Israel right now, in like a town in Sweden that I believe everyone in that national broadcaster would like call a no-go zone because the town is too Muslim or whatever, Malmo, Sweden. And there's already been like blood thrown at like the Eurovision sign in Malmo and shit. Like people have stormed stages at national finals. Like it's going to be a fucking mess. And they were trying to save themselves the embarrassment of like, broadcasting on national television, hey, Europe actually doesn't like what we're doing. So
I found a really incredible article about this song written on March 12th in the Jerusalem Post, and they take an incredible stance on this article, which is essentially they say that this song is going to embarrass Israel, not because of the political content of the song, but because it's boring and it sucks.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
It's you incredible. Know what? Like, oh, it's really, it's there really, are... let me just read this real quick part of it. The song is a half measure. It might be suitable for Eurovision format in terms of production and performance, but it itself is not excellent, not even very good. Another glaring flaw is that, except for a sentence or two in Hebrew that Golan sings, it's all in English. Generally, I understand the need for English, but in a period where Israeli existence is an existential danger, a song that is mostly or entirely in Hebrew would carry an explanatory message that Golan is here to perform. I was hoping this song would touch me. It did not.
I mean, that's the thing is that they feel so like they have so many off ramps to just be like, you know what, not our year for this, but I guess it seems like everybody's going to be full speed ahead and they're just going to perform it at the ceremony and everybody is going to be universally pissed about it. The contestants, the entries, the judges, the viewers.
Yeah. The Eurovision live show has been perfecting over the years since Russia annexed Crimea, have been perfecting like the live anti-booing technology of just like making it seem like that everyone in the room isn't fucking booing for the people watching at home. I think that's going to be deployed this year.
Yeah, they're going to be pioneering new experimental forms of AI to transform everybody's frowns in the audience into grins.
make everyone look like they're happy. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh god.
One Snapchat filter that turns everybody into like the grinning googly-eyed bobblehead.
For some strange reason, everyone in Malmo tonight seems to have the Chad face and and cat ears. Oh, strange. So Chris, any other notable mentions?
There's one more that I want to talk about in depth. I will just quickly shout out Moldova. This song isn't super awesome, but I do love that in their live performance, they have like five women all singing together who then pull violin bows out of quills in their back and play violin live. I thought that was a nice touch. What else did I like? That was Natalie Barbu from Moldova.
Yeah.
I liked the San Marino entry, Megara, performing 11-11. Do you have anything to say on that? Did they astroturf this again? Did they hire a ringer?
No. So you've mentioned two great countries here because Moldova and San Marino are the only countries that have like open auditions and will televise some of the open auditions. There was one guy, I've forgotten his name, who auditions every year from Moldova to like sing. He cannot sing. He is like 80 something, but he goes every time and he performs. And he didn't perform last year and everyone was scared shitless that he had died. But he came back this year and like Eurovision Twitter was just popping off just because like, yeah, the old Moldovan man is back. But with what's happening with the San Marino entry, the only like particularly interesting thing going on there, if I remember her name, Vergara, is it?
Yeah, Megara.
Yeah, she's purely in the competition to get revenge on her ex-husband because he's a Swedish songwriter who lives in Malmo. And okay. She's like going to the competition to be like, look, I fucking made it. He used to write songs for her and now he doesn't. So, yeah.
That's awesome and more power to her. This song is also very goofy, also very hot topic core. But I hope that she gets to twist the knife.
This
that
was
guy.
The one I talked about where the guys in their police vests and hats are partying
with
all the rockers. Although I like that this has kind of a mall pop punk sort of tilt to it. It feels very like Europeans just heard about Paramore.
Yes. What was that band from a few years ago that was, Jackie would know this, that got big on TikTok and then everybody got mad at for being like industry plants or whatever that had like real dumb, like all female pop punk type thing?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
Do you know what I'm talking about though? Yeah, I was like,
it sounds vaguely familiar.
I remember this. I remember this filtering through into Twitter.
It's like that, but they're because. It's from San Marino. They're just because it's European. There seems to be like an implied authenticity about it because it's like I guess they could really still be like that over there.
No one's an industry plant here. It's all very earnest.
Anyway, the one last one that I really want to talk about is Joost Klein Europapa from the Netherlands, which appears to be again a Eurodance pro European Union anthem. By a Dutch guy.
Best song of the week. Not even close.
This is your vote. Yeah, the mix of interests here is just very delightful for me, and it reminds me of when we toured the UK last. There were big ongoing Brexit protests, and then one freak in front of Westminster in a full EU bodysuit with like a 10-foot tall EU flag waving it in front of Parliament, and just one of him and then a bunch of like ham-faced taxi drivers demanding Brexit, and that brave EU sicko, I think that this is the anthem for him. Yes, this is one that I was really entertained by. Also, the haircut on this man, my god.
Oh, yeah, we love his name rhymes with toast. It's Joost. I've been told Joost. This because it's Dutch. It's German, but weird. I want Jackie's thoughts on this because this is one of my favorites because it does the thing of seeming like a joke song, but then there's actually something to it.
Oh, yes. It's incredible. The whole thematics of the song and the way that it manages simultaneously be this like bop, but also like you said, I turned on the English language captions and it is about like immigration, but also like about the keeping the European Union together.
Yeah,
and I the production value of this one I think is the best. Like the music video is really good. Yeah. His suit with the shoulders, like the shots of them driving down in the carts. It's all so good.
So a club jam about how great freedom of travel is.
So the added context of this is one, like a lot of people in the Netherlands, this one has charted quite well within the Netherlands, Belgium. It's expanded into other countries. It's like if I talk to anyone who doesn't pay attention to Eurovision as much as I do elsewhere in Europe, this is the song from this year they've heard already. And like I have to explain Joost a little bit because Joost is a seasoned performer. He's like a Dutch rapper slash does a lot of stuff with Gabber, which is a genre of music very, very popular in the Netherlands, stereotypically so. Everyone in the Netherlands is very excited that they're finally sending Gabber, because you don't see that in the Mega Mix, but there's like a
the big breakdown at the end of it. Yeah.
The song is, but the other thing about Joost is that he does these kind of like terminally online, I'm a fundamentally broken person lyrics. He does a lot of just like, oh man, I went to the rave last night, I should call my therapist kind of shit, because the man was orphaned when he was 12, like in a ridiculously tragic way. Like, his dad died of cancer, then his mom died of a heart attack a year later, and the song that he's submitting this year is about like, I miss my dad is basically the whole song. It's gonna be, I'm excited to see the Euro sick, like the EU sickos kind of incorporate the song, because it does feel very like, it does feel kind of akin to like the Republican politician bringing out the like born in the USA kind of shit, because a lot of the lyrics are also just like, the whole thing is when his dad was alive, he was like, one day, son, we're going to travel. We're going to go on holidays when we're not dirt poor anymore. And then he died. So he talks about the fact that like, I have everything in the world but you. I have all the time in the world to go to like France and shit, but I still just miss my dad, is basically the song. So
sono in Italia, but it still hurts.
Yes, yeah. I'm
interesting.
Like, ich bin in Deutschland, aber ich bin so allein. Like, I am in Germany, but I'm so alone. I'm alone in Italy, but I still feel the pain.
See, that's fascinating. Without that context, I thought, I thought this was purely somebody who just loved, you know, an open economic zone.
Yeah, the layers are fascinating. I love, like you're saying, that it feels so authentic to the country that it came from in this very silly way, like down to the way that, yeah, it's like, why try to trend chase? Just crank the dial back to 1999 and lean even further into it.
Absolutely. Any other notable mentions from you, Jackie?
I think that covered everything that I really wanted to talk about. I did really like Sweden's was not particularly like jaw-dropping in terms of the visuals or anything, but the live performance where they're like dancing with all the laser lights is very like dated. It's like fast. I like this one, Unforgettable, because it's like a boy band song, but also like this rave song.
Remind me of kind of like the French house revival that happened in like the 2000s, kind of like a Justice kind of song.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like, again, what if the Weekend Justice sort of sound, but then like a bunch of twinks all singing.
Yeah, we got twins.
Yeah, or
we
like twins. If NSYNC never broke up, like what music would they be making this year, you know?
Yeah, it's very Kavinsky coded. Yeah. Like that whole kind of like, yeah, like all the synth wave sort of like the visuals of it. Yeah. I thought that one was pretty good. I'm trying to think if there are any others that we haven't hit on this episode. Most of the others kind of, like we're saying earlier, fall into one of those like very baseline categories. Like the Germany song is like a super Imagine Dragons type beat. Yeah. Like a lot of that kind of stuff going on.
That's coming last though. I'm calling it now. Germany's coming last again. It's fucking miserable.
All right. So I think that after this review, my top three, I think it's gotta be, Croatia, Estonia, and Netherlands. I think that would be my top three ballot for this year.
I think Estonia and Netherlands are clearly up there. I think I think those are both probably the ones that you go with this year. I like Ireland too. I liked like a couple others, but yeah.
What are the betting favorites then? Like who for the real Euro watchers, who are the favorites?
Yeah. So this is what I was going to get to, because like, so unlike last year, we don't have like stupidly clear favorites. The competition is actually a bit more like wide open of who could win. Nice. I think there are four. Let me just check.
Wow, I'm fascinated by these bookmaking odds I have just pulled up here. So currently, Switzerland is in first place.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. I mean, that
we did not talk about.
It stood out a little to me, but I was like, again, you know, the ones that really stand out to me are the ones that have like an element of weirdness or unusualness to them. There is, and then there's like a base level that are really just like replacement. And then like there's this kind of mid-tier level where I'm like, yeah, this is competent. You know?
I can explain what's going on here, because like you did arrive at a handful of songs that are like big hitters this year. I think the top five at the moment, fifth place is Ukraine, but like Ukraine's numbers usually get like overestimated this far out from the competition. They are juggernauts in the competition because like, I think they're the only country that has made it to the final every year. Mm-hmm. And like their national final, they vote for like which song they want to send in their government everything app. Like the same app that you file for like child benefits is also how you like vote.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
The Dia app, I believe it's called. Anyway, so they're like a big contender, but the major two, right, is you've already touched on Netherlands and Croatia, which are going to be like these huge televote winners. Yep. Like people at home are going to be voting for them, but like no one really sees how they're going to appeal to the juries. Mm-hmm. And then the two songs that are going to do well with the televote and probably do very well with the juries are Italy and Switzerland. So that's why they're in the running. That's the reason Switzerland is impressive is because I don't want to say the man because he's non-binary. The boy, no, that's gendered as well. Nemo, God fucking damn it! I'm trying so hard, people. Nemo, wonderful musician, has pipes for fucking days. Like they do like these kind of rap choruses and like normal kind of sing-songy choruses, and then just the chorus is just hit like them pelting fucking notes beyond belief. And everyone was like, oh, this is kind of good, until like a video leaked of him doing it like live with the microphone about like 6 feet away from his fucking voice. And everyone was like, oh, okay, they can do this. So that's kind of why. And then like Italy's just like fun, girly pop. So that's the lay of the land this year.
Well, again, looking at these odds, I might have to put a 10 euro on Netherlands or Croatia for the upset.
Oh, absolutely. I think Croatia has the edge personally because they have the Cinderella story of just like, it'll be Croatia's first win. And like, this guy is poor and living in a one bedroom flat in like Vienna. And he's come back to Croatia to make this song. And it's like a slam dunk or whatever. Like there's a nice story there. And the Netherlands have won far too recently, so no one gives a shit.
Okay, great. Sorry, Joost.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the lay of the land at the moment. Do I have any other like fun scandals to relate to people? I do have one song I want to ask about, which is Luxembourg, because this is their 30-year triumphant return to the competition.
I'm trying to remember which...
Oh, there you go.
I was just impressed when I saw Luxembourg that, you know, their population was large enough to generate a pop act, you know?
I'm remembering now. This is one of the ones that sort of splits the difference between two categories, which would be the Empowerment Rise song and the vaguely reggaeton coded world pop song, where it's called Fighter and it's clearly like
yes,
I'm a bad independent woman sort of deal, but then also it's got this,
so to like Luxembourg, small country, but has money for days, so like that's a huge part of this. And they returned after 30 years. Like Ireland, they kind of like got a lot of wins. They have 5 wins historically, but they did that because like back when the competition forced you to speak a language that's in your country, that gave an advantage to Ireland because we spoke English, and it gave an advantage to Luxembourg because they speak both French and German.
Oh, well, so they were... I just was like, I was like, I wonder who this person is, where this person is from then. And this person is Israeli born Luxembourg.
Yes, yes. So, and then their national final competition was also just like, we shipped in a bunch of people who run the national selection in Israel. Like, everyone was talking, if Israel got kicked out, everyone was saying like, oh, Luxembourg is going to be the Israeli surrogate vote.
Well, she was educated at the International School of Luxembourg, all right? She has a very personal connection to the country.
Yes. but like, oh, it's also relatively tragic because at the same time, like, she does like singer-songwriter stuff in her spare time. They literally just like picked her up and said like, okay, you're doing something completely different now.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the funny things, is about like figuring out who can be the vessel to which, through which to channel like an Eurovision infrastructure through. And it's like in a place like Luxembourg, where you have the whatever committee is doing it, just like kind of going out into the town square and being like, all right, is anybody here a singer? Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll make you the Eurovision contestant this year.
It was, yeah, it's basically going into the town square in Luxembourg, and being like, okay, which one of you, like, Portuguese economic refugees and or stupidly rich bankers want to be, like, a pop star? So, yeah, that's where we're at.
Well, this has been real, as always. Do unfortunately have to kind of move on at 12:30.
Okay, final thoughts and we can wrap up.
Love Eurovision.
A fantastic year of selections. I'm excited to see who wins. I would love to be back to discuss further. It was a fun time.
Excellent.
Thank you as always for opening the door to the Eurovision for me.
No worries. And thank you, listener, for listening to this. As you know, only Mr. God Knows, the miniseries where we talk about Eurovision, is basically a large promotional vehicle for Eurovision. Eurovision will be happening on the 11th of May, twitch.tv/cornerspady. Or if you're in Berlin, there are still tickets available. Come, technically not watch the Eurovision with us, because there is a boycott and we are good boys and girls. And Nemo's and everyone else. We will be playing the music videos, so you get to see the clips of Zari just, you know, drifting in a Greek taxi. So have fun.
I will say, this is a visual medium, like the Indie Heads podcast. If you just listen to these songs today, you got to pull these videos up. You got to see what's going on with the production value, with the visuals.
I agree.
Very crucial.
It's worth just poking around the videos and checking out. What the hell's going on over there?
And the links for everything are in the description. And it leaves me to say, Jackie, Chris, thank you so much as resident music knowers for coming on and experiencing the Eurovision. After this is done, I listen to audiobooks.
Hey, happy to provide our expertise.
Happy to be here. Yes.
Excellent. All right. And we will see you when only Mr. God knows.